Welcome along to the Lorna Park League Final Special here on WLR. Tomás McCarthy here till 7 o'clock. Well, over the next hour, Derek McGrath will give his prediction for Saturday's big match. Peter Queeley will recall the Waterford-Cork clash of 1998. While later in the hour, Waterford Camogie goalkeeper Brianna O'Regan on Sunday's league semi-final against Wexford, and Waterford minor boss Shane Hearn on Tuesday's championship opener against Tipperary.
Ball to Patrick Hearn in front of the pack stand over on the far side. Gone inside the 65, heading for the 45. 3-12 to 10. Mikey Kiley scoops the ball into Jack Prendergast. Jack in pace. Liz Moorman looks, takes a shot. Blistering goal by Jack Prendergast. 41 minutes on the clock. Kiley to Prendergast. Prendergast roof of the net. Brilliant goal by Jack Prendergast. Granny May will be happy with that one.
So after that five-star display against Wexford last Sunday, Waterford can pick up their first piece of silverware under Liam Cahill when they take on Cork in Saturday's league final. It'll be our George Corbett scored a big match here on WLR. Join Kieran O'Connor and Michael Ryan live from Semple Stadium from 7 o'clock. Well, to preview this one, joined in studio by a man who guided Waterford to their last league title in 2015, Derek McGrath. Derek, why were Waterford such comfortable winners over Wexford last weekend, do you think?
Hard to kind of put a definite answer on that. I think the intensity levels were extremely high, as they always have been under Liam, to be fair. Not the flatness of the performance the week before sometimes can influence the next week's performance. I think there was just a team just coming nicely to the boil, you know, mixing and matching their game well between short and long, between counter-attack. Their shape was much better. I think there was improvements made with regard to, I'd say there was discussions during the week around the opposition 11 based on what Pádraig Walsh had possibly done the week previously, nipping a couple of points whilst watching, you know, Tighe defend that D as he does so well. And I think, you know, Darragh Lyons was crucial to that. I actually watched it back and watched Liam Cahill have a number of conversations during the game with Darragh Lyons around his role and that of Neil Montgomery's role in ensuring that Tighe's man, I suppose, is double marked, is covered, whilst Tighe can do his thing and also be able to kind of, as Tighe reads it, then he can also be available to for offloads, if you like. So I thought, you know, there was lots of strategic, you know, manoeuvres, etc., that were done based on what had happened against Kilkenny. But I think there was just a team in full flow as well, you know, and helped obviously as well by Wexford's, you know, probably caught between two stools and their puck out policy, you know, handing us probably three goal scoring opportunities in the first 7 or 8 minutes, you know. And I think the mood subsequently was, you know, one of a predatorial team just going after the throats of an opposition.
You mentioned Darragh Lyons there, Derek, and he was one of the standout performers last weekend. Did he do a good Jamie Barron impersonation in that game?
Yeah, well, he did a Darragh Lyons impersonation with due respect to okay. Jamie, and you know he's had a brilliant league campaign. You know, I was actually just watching I was doing something on puckouts there for my own bit of study, I suppose, and looking at a challenge game that we played against Dublin in 17 that Darragh was playing, and just thinking back about, I think he came on as a sub in 17 in against Kilkenny in the league and played against Cork, and I was just saying, you know, how much he's progressed, and I was just actually thinking as well in my own memory about his role under Darragh Duggan and Shane McGrath when he played with the Waterford Colleges. You know, when Waterford College is the next their All-Ireland title, or their Hearty, an All-Ireland title, with Tighe and Colin Dunford and Patrick Hearn, etc., that, you know, he used to come out as a third midfielder there often in those particular games. And the versatility of the man, I think he won an All-Ireland under-21 at cornerback, you know, and now he's the prototype modern midfielder, up and down, helping all over the pitch, driving thing on. And what he has as well, if people have probably noticed this, he has a brilliant ability to hit what I call a kind of an arrowed pass off the hurl as well. When there's maybe a handy point on, he'll go with a beautiful pass to someone, 20-yard strike, really quick. And he's obviously a brilliant communicator in terms of his work with Tighe, covering, as I said, that opposition 11. But he's had an outstanding league, and he's the first name, I'd imagine, on the team sheet in terms of midfield spots at the moment. He's, you know, he's in some way made us kind of almost not forget about Jamie, because we wouldn't do that with such a player. But we're kind of saying to ourselves, we're talking a lot about the depth of the panel, and obviously he's contributed hugely to that.
You speak about the arrowed pass, Derek, and one of those arrowed passes, I think, led to Austin Gleeson's second goal last Sunday. And Waterford now have 18 goals in their 6 league outings. Why are Waterford creating so many chances and also converting them?
Yeah, well, I think they're converting him because they're more clinical. And I think, in fairness to Liam, I think it was the first match or one of the matches, and I heard him interviewed after, he talked about, you know, making sure that we were clinical enough, you know, around the chances that we created. Even an interview that I often hear it played on WLR, where he talks about, if we want to get to where we want to go, we need to be really clinical. So obviously they work on that in the training field in terms of the clinical nature. In terms of how they're creating the space, they're creating the space because obviously they're working hard all over the field. They call it hard work, they call it huge athleticism, but look, they're coming so deep, I suppose, you know. And into that category comes Patrick Hearn, Jack Pender, Neil Montgomery, guys, I suppose, who do a lot of the unfashionable kind of work, I suppose, and they create the space for the plaudits to be gained by Austin and Desi, etc. And I think their role in being complete team players, no more than, you know, Jake Dillon had done for years, or Michael Walsh or Kevin Moore, they're a complete team, and I think that's where they're creating the space. In terms of the taking the chances, I think it's just a huge skill level there with the Waterford team. You know, there's a huge, huge depth of skill, and, you know, they're very confident as well, Tomás. You can see at the moment, you know, when you're playing in that manner and you're counter-attacking in that manner, they're very confident. And I'm particularly delighted for Patrick Hearn in that. You know, I mean, when we were involved in 16, Patrick had a very good league for us, and actually 16, beating in the league final. We were playing him out the field at our 10, 11 or 12 and getting a bit of stick for playing him out the field, you know, and you know, people would have said he was an inside forward, and I think he's found his home now, either at wing, centre, or, you know, 10, 11, 12, even in midfield at times, and he, you know, brilliantly created that little pop pass from Michael Coyley for Jack Pendergast's goal last week, keeping the ball in play there. And I think he's really found his home there, you know, as a hard working and yet scoring forward on the winger.
Unfortunately, one finisher that Liam Cahill won't have at his disposal on Saturday, Derek, is Austin Gleeson, after that a straight red card the last day. From your experience as a manager, what can you say to a player following an incident like that?
Sometimes you might say nothing at all. You know, it depends on the relationship with the player, obviously. And Liam has imbued, I suppose, from Austin, really good performances over the last couple of years. So he obviously has a really good, respectful relationship with him there. So I think you just move on, and the depth of the panel, you know, if you have Stephen Bennett to come back into the equation, we don't know, we're speculating. If you have Jamie Barron to come back into the panel, or if you have Caelan Limes to play, and maybe, you know, perhaps Cormac Daly to come into the middle of the field on Darragh Fitzgibbon, perhaps. All those things are speculation. So I think you just kind of, in terms of Austin, you just move on, and you make sure that Austin gets a good week's training into him, gets another, you know, his preparation is now for the Tipperary game. And I expect Austin to really respond well for the Tipperary game in the manner that I know that he will, because, you know, he's hugely disappointed to miss out on a game of this magnitude on Saturday night. And, you know, he'll be disappointed that he has to miss out, and for something that wasn't a huge amount in, to be honest. So look, I think he'll put his head down over the next couple of weeks. He's a great lad, you know, and he'll train diligently under Beavens and Tony Brown, etc., and be ready for Tip in Welsh Park.
Austin was part of that league success back in 2015. Derek, a big win against Cork in Semple Stadium. I'll just have a little clip from that occasion just to play for you now.
Toss on down on Cork Show. We started out 6 months ago, got back training early days, and it's all that hard training that makes scenes like today worth every run, every sweat, every blood, every tear. And I'd like to especially thank the Waterford people. The scene I can see out here is something I've never dreamed of as a player, and hopefully this is the start of a great time for Waterford hurling.
That was Kevin Moran's speech after the game. Derek, how much did that win mean to you?
Hugely significant, I suppose, on a collective level, in that it's been documented even this week. I suppose we've only 3 national titles, I suppose, you know, in terms of National League. So hugely significant. A little bit different in terms of the trajectory of the team. It was, you know, the beginning of something for us, I would have felt. You know, we had a difficult 14, won the league in 15. We're in 3 All-Ireland semi-finals subsequent to that, and an All-Ireland final, obviously losing the 4 of them. You know, in the 5 finals, we lost 4 finals. We, you know, the one that got away is probably the 16 league final in that, the league final replay. We would have felt that, you know, with a good chance perhaps to annex another crown there. But yeah, very significant. But a little bit different, as I said, to this week, in that the catalyst for us was that performance. Whereas, you know, this team are now probably coming to its natural peak, if you like. Albeit, I think there was only 3 or 4 fellas starters involved. There's a lot of people that were around that panel, that have been around that panel, involved in a number of finals over the last 6 or 7 years, and been hugely competitive. So it's a stage where the boys are probably saying, look, we're at our peak now. you know, silverware. You know, we celebrated hard, I suppose. Not hard, hard now, making out that we were out all night.
Oh, hard, Derek.
No, no, not particularly hard, believe it or not. We just enjoyed it. We enjoyed the Sunday and we enjoyed the Monday. But we would have got almost a kind of big psychological boost from it. My feeling is, I remember watching Ken McGrath lifting the trophy in 07. The league, I think we won the league in 07, am I right? Or maybe I'm wrong. I think it was 07, right?
That's right,
I remember watching Ken or Michael Walsh, can't remember, lifting the trophy. And almost seeing this kind of ashen-faced, kind of, not that there wasn't joy, there was other things on the horizon, you know. Whereas when we won it in 15, it was unexpected, you know. And so I think if it's Tadhg in his role as acting captain in Conor Prunty's absence, or if it's Jamie Barron, or if it's Conor Prunty lifting the cup on Saturday evening, I think you'll see a celebration. I think rightly so. But I think, you know, the cup will be in the kit bag of Roger Casey on Saturday evening. And there'll be two other targets and two really reachable, notable targets for the rest of the year. I think that's probably the difference. If I go to the All-Ireland semi-final in my headspace of 15, I won't say we were talking about bonus territory. You know, we were attacking it, but we were in a lot better space in 16 and 17 in terms of where we wanted to go. And ultimately, we didn't get there. But the point I'm making isn't relevant to this weekend. To answer your question, I suppose, is that, yeah, it's hugely significant. And it's significant this weekend, but either way, whatever way the result goes, I think there's two other big trophies staying for, and Waterford will be in the mix no matter what happens tomorrow night or Saturday night.
Yeah, I'm sure Roger Casey would love to have that cup coming back home in the Waterford kit van, Derek, come Saturday night. So why don't you just put on your tactical hat for a moment in terms of the puck outs, which you touched on earlier. Waterford got a lot of joy off the short ones last Sunday. How do you see that aspect of the game playing out Saturday night?
Yeah, well, look, if you're in the Cork management, you're going to look at the amount of puckets that Tadhg actually received from Sean O'Brien on his own 21, standing unopposed. You might go to the week before where Pádraig Welsh actually went pushed up on Tadhg, but then the minute the pucket went long, he was back out doing his wandering or his meandering. That depends, I suppose, on you know, the availability of space, I suppose, for Sean O'Brien or Billy Nolan, whoever's in goal. I think you'll see the mix and match approach, but I think if you're Kieran Kingston and you're watching how many free puckouts Waterford, you know, readily had at their availability on last Sunday, you're probably going to push up. But when you do push up, the likelihood is that space will be created on the other side and grass will be there then for our notable runners to run into. So, you know, I think there'll be a mix and match approach, which is the best policy from Waterford.
How will Waterford cope with Darragh Fitzgibbon and the threat he poses from midfield, Derek?
Liam's approach has always been kind of, you know, to kind of talk about being on the front foot themselves. So he may argue that, you know, not he may argue, he may say, put forward a notion that, yeah, we're going to obviously concentrate on members of the opposition. And when you look at Cork, you'd be saying, right, Mark Holman in the pocket hits a huge amount of the ball. Darragh Fitzgibbon is in the form of his life, probably, you know, after having that, you know, that dip that all players have. I've often made the point that we're so blessed in Waterford to you know, to have Tadhg De Bourcaigh and Jamie Barron and the Bennetts and you know, all these players readily available to us. But they're still relatively young men, you know. They're still relatively young men. You know, a lot of them have been there since 14. Austin and the boys have been there since 14. And yet they're 27 or 28 years of age. The point I'm making in reference to Darragh Fitzgibbon is they had a similar dip. You know, every player has a little bit of a dip before he comes back again, and Fitzgibbon is at the point where he comes back again. The hope would be, I suppose, from a Waterford perspective, is prior to the Wexford game, Rory O'Connor was the name on everyone's lips. This week, it's Darragh Fitzgibbon. So that brings its own little bit of pressure in terms of... So I don't think Waterford will go like, we have to tag Darragh Fitzgibbon for the whole game. I think you might see a situation where, you know, a midfielder is on him, he might get 2 or 3 points. Darragh Fitzgibbon might get 2 or 3 points. And that's the way the modern game is now. You're kind of, you know, it's a trade-off between how significant the midfielder's roles can be. And I think, you know, you look at Jack Pender's role, you look at, you know, Darragh Lyon's role, you look at Neil Montgomery's role, they'll all be responsible for tracking the runs of Darragh Fitzgibbon. And, you know, as well as, or else Liam will go, will throw a rabbit from the hat and kind of say to himself, right, we've a man marker and let's tag him all the way. But not that they'll be looking at it, but there's a date in May on the calendar in Welsh Park as well. And there'll be learnings as well from Saturday night for that particular date as well.
And more learnings will come from some of the matchups as well, Derek. And I just want to pick out two of them. Who do you think will mark Patrick Horgan? And up the other end, who do you think will mark Daisy Hutchinson?
Yeah, interesting. A lot depends on the availability of Sean O'Donoghue, I suppose. He didn't play last weekend against Kilkenny in the semi-final. And Darragh O'Leary struggled at fullback on Billy Ryan for long periods. look, it's a straight shootout then between Niall O'Leary, I suppose, and if Sean O'Donoghue is fit, I suppose. Sean O'Donoghue is probably the more likely candidate to take Desi. Niall O'Leary, look at his experience, I suppose, of marking Rory O'Connor 2 weeks ago, of marking Peter Casey in the All-Ireland final. He's a little bit looser than he's a hurling cornerback, and he, you know, a stopper is probably more needed with and on the other side for us, I suppose, in terms of Horgan, again, it depends. Will he go to full? Therefore, I don't think you'll see a situation where Conor Gleeson will go to full back and Earle will be out in the corner. It depends on the matchups. You know, Conor Gleeson, having played so well last week in a confident mode, does he pick Shane Kingston speed for speed? And does Earle does Earle pick Patrick Horgan on the back of, you know, the fact that Earle had done so well against Conor McDonald as well? But it's an interesting dynamic because, you know, Horgan, you know, watching it on the telly last Saturday night, he came off just having just scored a point. When you're an ex-manager, I suppose, you're trying to read players' body language and you're almost trying to look at his face. Previous in the league, he had put his finger up to his lips almost in a kind of a veiled, you know, attempt to kind of silence perhaps people who think he should be in a more impact sub role. I felt that's what I thought I was hinting at. Last week he looked kind of not angry, but he certainly wouldn't be overly happy with being taken off. So he's a dangerous enough animal now this weekend, as the Waterford boys are.
He certainly is. And ultimately, Derek, will Waterford add a fourth league title come Saturday night?
I think they will. I think we're in a really good place. In actual fact, I think the Austin loss, strange enough, may even galvanise, you know, the squad. I think that they'll be mad to get a national trophy. There'll be no holding back from either side, to be fair. I don't think people will be looking at what's going to happen in a few weeks' time or looking at... And I think this annexing of the trophy, if you like, on Waterford's behalf, you know, can act as a catalyst for further trophies to come on board. I don't think when Waterford lift the trophy on Saturday night, I don't think it's the last trophy they'll lift this year, you know.
Just finally, Derek, who has been Waterford's player of the league up to now?
Well, I suppose Stephen Bennett has lit up the league in aspects of the league, particularly up to the fact that he wasn't available the last couple of games. Jack Fagan's relocation to wing back has been a huge success. The left field thinking involved with Cal and Beavens and Tony Brown, I'd pride myself on left field thinking over the years, and I never would have even kind of considered Jack, you know, as a wing back. So the manner in which he's kind of settled there, the flexibility, the you know, the adaptability, how good in the air, even if you've just watched the Dublin game, he didn't hit much ball against Dublin, but he actually just stayed with Donald Burke all day. For a guy that was kind of maybe so used to being a kind of a looser forward himself, to be able to be as rigidly sticking with a man marking to you, I think he's obviously been hugely effective. I like Montgomery as well because he doesn't get much praise. He doesn't get much column inches, I suppose, but he, you know, even there was a particular incident in the first half last day where I saw him a cornerback, and I love the flexibility with which he gives the team, the flexibility of, you know, and now it's fashionable, thank God, for forwards to be back in the backs, for everyone to be everywhere, and it's great to see that flexibility being flourishing now, I suppose, and it's so he's been a brilliant player, and obviously I'm probably missing someone very, very obvious now, but key thing, I suppose, Tomás, to really finish on, I suppose, is that the leadership group now of the team. When we were watching Waterford teams over the years, you would have watched over the years, so you had the Dan and John Milan and Ken McGrath and Tony Brown leadership group. Then you seem to have the kind of, you know, the Kevin Moran, the Brick Walsh, the leadership group that they were bringing. Now the leadership group is, you know, it seems to be Tighe and Conor Prunty and Jack Pender and the Bennetts and Austin. It's, you know, there's a handover, if you like, in terms of the dynamic of the team. And I don't think... That's a natural kind of change in the team, and I think they're really taking that on, those kind of leaders. You can see guys like Cormac and boys that are coming into the panel are really just being integrated well because of the natural leadership tendencies of the team. The reason why I think this Waterford team will be ultimately successful is because they're a real team. Look at the extra pass for the goal when it's on it. There's always an extra pass. There's nobody looking for individual kind of scores. They're a proper team, and they think their way through the game as well, which is a great trait.
So if you could pin you on one name, Derek, who would it be?
Okay. yeah, I've gone through them all. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. I'd say, look, to be fair, I don't want to be parochial, so I won't say Jack Fagan, but I've kind of half said him there by not saying I'm parochial. Yeah, I'd say, look, I think Stephen Bennett has been exceptional in terms of the scoring standards he brought to the league, and hopefully he'll be available on Saturday night.
Brilliant stuff. Well, Derek McGrath, Thanks a million for joining us in studio, and enjoy the game on Saturday night.
Will do. Thanks a million.
Now you're hurling. Lorna Porca with Tomás McCarthy on WLR.